Hello, I'm Theo, and I was the Member of Parliament for Stafford and chaired the UK Birth Trauma Inquiry in Parliament. And I have a beautiful daughter, but like many women, my birth was far from straightforward. I suffered from a traumatic birth after a 40-hour labour, postpartum hemorrhage, emergency surgery for my birth injury, and went on to develop PTSD. And it was this experience that led me to start campaigning nationally on ending the postcode lottery in maternity care. So Breaking the Taboo is a new podcast on women's health. And in series one, I'll be looking at the issue of birth trauma by speaking to affected mums and their families, healthcare professionals and campaigners. So if you, like me, feel like you didn't know where to ask for help, or you felt too ashamed to ask, then I hope you know you're not alone and that this podcast is very much here for you. Please get in touch with us with your stories and your reflections on the show, as we'd love to hear from you. And thanks to our sponsor, the law firm Irwin Mitchell. You can follow me on Instagram at TheoClarkMP, or do get in touch with us via our show website, which you'll find in the notes below. I'm delighted to introduce my two guests today, Jo Fordyce and Alice Johnston, to talk about physical recovery from childbirth and to share their advice for new mums. And we know that pelvic health conditions affect women of all ages, and they see many mothers both during pregnancy and the postnatal stages, including those who've suffered from birth trauma. So firstly, let me introduce Jo, who is a specialist pelvic health physiotherapist. And Jo, let me start by asking, what's been the biggest moment in your career to get you here today?
So good morning, Theo. Thank you for having me. So I would say, looking at my career, when I was working at St George's Hospital in London, one of the highlights working in pelvic health physiotherapy, which is where we're looking to optimise bladder, bowel and sexual health, was being involved in the implementation and setting up of the perineal clinic based at St George's. It was a multidisciplinary team clinic, so that meant there was a specialist pelvic health physiotherapist, a urogynecology consultant we worked with, and midwives. So it's very much embracing and seeing women who had suffered from severe perineal trauma, such as third and fourth degree perineal tears. And that was fantastic to be involved in, and to continue on the work that we're seeing with postnatal mothers. And it's great to be here, to be able to actually say a little bit about what pelvic health physiotherapy can offer, because often people think, well, I'm not even sure I know what one of you is. So that's what we're also looking at today.
Fantastic. And Alice, you're also known as the postnatal Pilates coach. The same question to you.
So I didn't always teach Pilates. I used to be on the big greasy corporate wheel in PR. And after the birth of my two children, I realized that PR wasn't my calling. And so I trained as a Pilates instructor. The recovery support I had after both of my children was practically non-existent. And it was that acknowledgement that there wasn't the support out there that led me to train specifically in postnatal rehab to be the support that I never had for other mums and in and around where I live. But I also now coach other Pilates instructors to specialise in postnatal rehab as well.
Fantastic. Well, I think that's a really good place to start. You both work with mums also when they're pregnant at the start of their journey. Alice, question for you. What would you say are the sort of top tips that you think mums should consider during pregnancy? Because I certainly hadn't thought about postnatal recovery when I was pregnant. And actually, that's a really important point of what should mums be thinking about before their baby actually arrives.
Yeah, there's a lot of emphasis on changing nappies and prepping formula that we think mostly about the baby and how we'll be as parents looking after our babies. But actually, there's loads of things that you can be doing as a mum that is looking after your body to not only help you in the delivery, but also in the postnatal recovery period. So little simple things like doing your pelvic floor exercises. I know that they are not the most fun exercise that you could be doing, but think of it like brushing your teeth. You brush your teeth in order so that you have a mouthful of lovely teeth. Your pelvic floor is the same. It's a sort of training that you do that's a little bit of everyday work that you can do to help your muscles keep their tones and also to be able to kind of support you through that delivery and that recovery period. Little simple app. The NHS has a Squeezy app that can help if you are a bit forgetful with doing your pelvic floor. But there's also some breathing exercises to downregulate your nervous system and bring online your parasympathetic nervous system. That's the part of your nervous system that brings you down from any of that kind of anxiety that you might be feeling as a mum, potential mum. And it is just a little bit of self-care that you can be doing throughout your pregnancy. Also, a little bit of abdominal work. So if you think about as you breathe out, you're drawing the baby towards you. It's called a hug the baby. And that's a fabulous little exercise that just helps connect the breath, the pelvic floor, and those abdominal muscles, which then is exactly what you want to be doing in the early stages of postnatal recovery. So if you're familiar with that exercise during pregnancy, it's then something that then feels familiar to you in that postnatal recovery. If you have never done exercise to any degree when you have not been pregnant, I don't recommend jumping into a massive new exercise regime during pregnancy, but you are not ill. You are not unable to exercise during pregnancy. Your body is used to a certain level of movement and exercise, so keep it up. I think the idea that women are weaker or not capable in pregnancy is just not true. And the more you can do physically to keep your body strong during your pregnancy is going to really benefit you during that labor and postnatal period, because labor is often like a marathon. You need energy, you need to have stamina, you need to also know and trust that your body is able to do this work and to feel confident that you are able to kind of move through that with your body. And the more you know your body during pregnancy as well, the better you'll also know it in the postnatal period.
And Jo, I think that's a really important point about antenatal education. So what should mums be doing to sort of prepare before birth, and what should they be educating themselves about?
So I think when you're looking at antenatal education, it's something that the perinatal pelvic health services are very much looking into within maternity services. Because if you have a woman who has, as Alice is saying, who has an idea about her pelvic floor muscle function and also what is optimal bladder, bowel and sexual health, that when it comes to after having a baby, if you know what is normal to expect from your bladder and bowel and sexual function, that i.e. if you are having some leakage or feelings of prolapse postnatal, not to think that that is okay and normal after you've had your baby and know where to seek help. So what we know is if we have some antenatal education, and this is what pelvic health physiotherapists and midwives are working towards to ensure women have that antenatal education regarding pelvic floor muscle education, so that when they reach the fourth trimester, when, as Alice said, you know, your natural focus is on that new baby, you know, all the focus on that, and women are very good at putting themselves at the bottom of the priority pile, if they have a bit more idea of what to recognize and where to seek help, and that's where coming for some pelvic health physiotherapy, which where we could look at pelvic floor muscle function. And again, from the days when I started working in pelvic health in the mid 90s, we've moved on from pelvic floor muscle exercises being a point of, it was all about the strength. We know it's so much more than that. So we will look at the function, how it links in with your breath control, the rest of the work, the muscles working within your body. And that's why having pelvic health physiotherapists can help to recognize if you are having some pelvic floor muscle dysfunction to get it sort of sorted. But I say the key is to having that antenatally. And again, with exercise, again, as Alice was saying, you know, there are guidelines to look at for exercising safely. Again, every woman is different, so it depends on what your pregnancy is like, so you'd have to have it as individual to you. But an excellent resource is if you look on the pelvic obstetric and gynecology physiotherapy website, which is a specialist physiotherapy interest group for pelvic health. There are guidelines for exercising during pregnancy and also to seek help if you're not sure what you can do to recognize your work within those guidelines. And then, as Alice says, you're going to be in a better position to exercise for following delivery.
And if I just think back to my own experience and friends having babies, I think, to be honest, post-birth, the first thing everyone asked me was, how do I shift my baby bump weight? To be honest, I was in such a bad way post-birth. I was just focused on physical recovery. But I think it's a question, you know, mums write to me about is to say, you know, when is the appropriate time to start to have self-care? When should they start doing physical exercise? So Alice, you work obviously with Pilates with new mums. What would your advice be for that sort of first 6 weeks post-birth? What do you think mums should be doing?
So I'm going to answer that in two kind of phases. So if I have worked with a client who, if I worked with her during her pregnancy, then my advice to her is a little different to if I've not worked with that client. So if you have done some work in your pregnancy, so you understand your pelvic floor connection, you understand how to kind of activate your abdominals and all of those kind of early kind of exercises that you'd want to be focusing on, I would be encouraging her to start that work kind of relatively soon as she feels comfortable and able to do it. But for a client or a mum that has not really done any of this work, and let's be honest, that's probably the majority of people, then those first few weeks is not really about shifting baby weight. Those first few weeks are about you connecting with your baby, with you working out what on earth you're supposed to be doing, because it's a whole change. You know, we know that the phase between childhood and adulthood is called adolescence. We've now termed a phrase matrescence, which is the evolution from into motherhood. And we know that there are huge psychological, physiological, and emotional transition into becoming a mother. And so you need to take time to get to know that new person that you have become, and then acknowledging any changes that may have happened in your body. And taking time to get to know that new you is what I would say is a kind of really important first step. I had postnatal depression after my son was born because I hated the version of myself that I had become. She was a hot mess. She just couldn't get anything together. And it took me therapy to really then re-engage with who this new Alice was. And then at that point, I would be recommending, after you've kind of bonded with your baby and just taken some time to heal from whatever birthing experience you've had, then it's a case of doing some very gentle, relaxing exercises, very similar to that kind of pregnancy period. So lovely breath work. Often when we're pregnant, you struggle to have that, you know, lovely deep breath because you've got bottom up in your ribs, or in my son's case, his head was up in my ribs. And so it's very hard to breathe. And then what tends to happen is that once the baby is born, we tend to breathe big into our bellies. And if you've got a diastasis, so the separation of the abdominal muscles, which every mother has at term, but the rate of that recovery can be improved if you're not always breathing big into your abdominal muscles. So we look at the breath work and getting your breathing to reconnect with the pelvic floor, because there's a synergistic relationship between the pelvic floor and the diaphragm. So when you breathe in, the pelvic floor descends, as does the diaphragm. And some mums, that gets disrupted. So the first thing is to think about breathing in, releasing the pelvic floor, releasing the diaphragm, and then exhaling and gently lifting up the pelvic floor and the diaphragm, and then connecting that with that hug the baby exercise as well to kind of reconnect those abdominal muscles. If you've had a C-section, those abdominal muscles will have been cut in order to deliver the baby. So a lot of mums actually just don't feel any sensation in those abdominal muscles. So getting some scar tissue therapy might be one of the first steps. And, you know, the absolutely, before you want to go into any other form of exercise, I recommend going for an intravaginal exam and speaking to a woman's health physio, getting an assessment, because your body has changed. And no matter what delivery you have, whether you just coughed and your baby fell out gracefully, or you have, you know, you experienced trauma, your body has changed, and you need to know what your new playing field is so that you can then step forward with confidence rather than kind of wondering and guessing and doing Dr. Google to find out what you should be doing. Knowledge is power, and, you know, there's no rush to get anywhere quickly. Baby weight will change depending on a number of factors: diet, exercise, sleep, hydration. And it shouldn't be your first point of call. Your first point of call is get to know yourself, get to know what's happened to your body, and then build from there.
Imagine being told your son would never be able to walk or talk. When we didn't know where to turn, Erwin Mitchell were there.
Our legal and financial experts understand the impact of a serious injury. We help our clients receive the best possible medical care, rehabilitation, and compensation.
My son is now 12. He can walk, he can talk, and he makes me so happy.
At Erwin Mitchell, we'll help you to imagine what's possible so nothing feels impossible. Authorised and regulated by the Solicitors Regulation Authority.
Absolutely. Joe, to pick up on some of those symptoms that Alice just mentioned, I remember when I was reading the submissions to the birth trauma inquiry in Parliament, I was really shocked to hear some of the symptoms that women who'd suffered birth trauma were having to recover from. So could you just talk us through what are the types of things that might happen to women, and specifically what kind of help should they be asking for? Because we really want with this podcast to help mums to recover and to heal from their birth trauma. So it'd be great to have some practical advice.
With a woman sort of following delivery, whether it's via cesarean delivery or via vaginal delivery, so a woman may have some pelvic floor muscle dysfunction, which may present, as I touched on before, stress urinary incontinence, which is when you may leak with a cough, a sneeze. If you start to go back to running exercise, you may have urinary urgency and frequency. You're not able to hold if you need to go for a pee, you can't reach the toilet on time. You may have feelings of vaginal prolapse, which is incredibly common as well. You may also have, if you've had some stitches, whether it's an episiotomy or you've had a perineal tear, you may have some pain around that area. And also, again, when we see women who's referred in for pelvic health physiotherapy, there isn't often just one symptom. So they may be referred in with stress incontinence, but actually they may have some pain with returning to sexual intimacy. They may have some prolapse. There may be some musculoskeletal back and pelvic pain left over from pregnancy as well. And to Alice's point, it's really important to do your pelvic floor exercises. But I would say 9 out of 10 women who come to see me, when they come into my clinic, they say, well, I've been doing pelvic floor, I'm doing it. And some of them have the squeezy out, which was designed by a pelvic health physiotherapist, which is fabulous because we spent years putting post-it notes around the room. So it's great for reminders. So it's brilliant. But if you come for a pelvic health physiotherapy assessment, we can actually do an internal examination to see what's actually happening with your muscles. So we can do an internal, we can, as I said before, it's not just about how strong that muscle is, it's whether it's functioning. And if you have a muscle which is tensing, holding on, not releasing, we know, like any other muscle in the body, you've got to look at the muscle's got to have a full active range of movement. If you don't have that, then that might lead to pain, your bladder symptoms, your prolapse symptoms. So again, having that in internal can give you that reassurance, then individualize that program to how you're working. And then we can also see how much it's linking in with your abdominal muscles. Diastasis recta, yes, it is common. Every woman will have it by the time they reach 36 weeks gestation. But again, exercising and making sure we're getting that function of the abdominal muscles. Again, we've gone away from looking at what the gap is like, but look at that function. So again, if you are having any concerns, this is what I was saying, is to, from an antenatal perspective, if you've already been signposted, ask your GP at your 6-week check if you are worrying about leakage, prolapse. So, and later on down the line, returning to sexual intimacy, again, if you have any concerns, don't think that's normal, ask them to refer to a pelvic health physiotherapist. And again, looking at the timings to come, lots of people will come to see me from a mummy MOT. Now that's offered from 6 weeks post-delivery, and that's a postnatal screening assessment. Now, some women come at 6 weeks, some people come at 6 months, some people come 4 years down the line. It's never too late. It doesn't matter, because we will start as a physiotherapist working from where you are at. And as Alan was saying, it depends where you are. There's a big difference with women. If a woman has had a difficult delivery and then you have a baby who you're trying to learn how to breastfeed, and again, your baby's got tongue tie or your baby's got colic and you're living on about 2 hours sleep, it's hard to get dressed before midday, let alone think about doing any exercise. So come when you are ready. Don't compare yourself. You are that individual.
I was struck just then, you mentioned about the 6-week GP appointment. And one of the things I campaigned very hard for when I was an MP in Parliament was to get that check changed to not just be about the baby, but also be about the mum. And I remember when I had my appointments, I think all the questions were at my daughter, who was absolutely fine, and it was me that needed the help. So I'm really pleased that that change has been brought in. And you also mentioned a really important point there, which is, I think, a taboo we do need to talk about, which is painful sex. And I can't tell you how many friends have privately come up to me and said they've had issues, but they just don't feel like they can share it with friends or they can ask for help. So I think we do need to break the taboo by speaking about it. So firstly, a lot of women do suffer from painful sex. Do you have any advice, both of you, from what we can do to recover?
Yeah, so I would say, first of all, when I say this on a weekly basis to women, and is that to remember, this is your biggest sex organ. Your brain is your biggest sex organ. So if you think back, again, when you see a new mom, or you think back to pre-pregnancy, if you're busy with, you've got a big work event coming up, or you're feeling stressed through family or other issues, you're not going to feel like swinging from chandeliers. You're not going to switch on from sex. Okay, so it's really important. And again, I think it's also one of those groups, as you say, you think everybody else is back doing it, everyone's doing it. They're not. Everyone's a bit tired. It's fine. So again, if you come for some pelvic health physiotherapy, you may come, as I say, with bladder or prolapse symptoms, but often people worry about how they look. Because again, these muscles are tucked away. You know, this. I always have my pelvis in clinic to show people where the pelvic floor muscles are. They go, I didn't realize they were there. And just by knowing where these muscles are and their sexual function can help just to give you that confidence back. And again, if you are having pain with sex, and maybe again, if you've got a painful episiotomy site or some scar site, just by doing some scar tissue sort of massage, but also doing some work to desensitize around that scar area can help to also recalibrate that area as an area for sexual pleasure. Because as Alice says, you're busy becoming that mum, and what women will often say to me, it's difficult when you've got that baby and you're breastfeeding all day, and then you have to become that sexual person again to switch into that role. But it will happen, and it does happen. But don't sit and don't do anything about it. Do come and speak to your GP, come and seek some support.
Absolutely. If you are listening to today's podcast thinking, I'm really ashamed, I don't think I can ask for help, you absolutely can. I didn't know where to ask for help. And that's partly why I set up this podcast, is to make sure that the resources are out there. So Alice, what advice would you have for mums that are worried about this?
The stress piece that Joe talks about is the kind of piece that I would look to address with mums, because when your body is feeling frightened, we have cortisol in the body, which is going to cause tension. And if you then are tense in your kind of whole body, your pelvic floor is also part of that network. So of course, you're going to have tightness there. And you are not going to enjoy the intimacy with your partner if you are frightened. And I think that the first step isn't to rush into flinging. I love the idea that you're swinging from chandeliers in your house, Joe. But is to actually take your time, because you are also getting to know your body again, and so is your partner. And a lot of women talk about their body feeling different, and we have a lot of shame attached to that maybe the delivery wasn't what we were supposed to do, we failed, our bodies failed us, we're not normal. There's a lot of swirling shame that goes in there. So our body, we lose confidence in our body, and you're certainly not going to feel like being intimate with your partner if you're not confident in your body. But that doesn't mean you have to rush into full sex with your partner. You could actually just explore more intimate ways of being together that doesn't involve being with your child. So even if that's just having dinner together and remembering why you love each other, that is an amazing first step for rebuilding that intimacy between you that doesn't then have to lead to the bedroom. And then it's taking those slow steps that remind you of why your partner and you are together. And then take your time to re-explore your body together. And if that then leads to something else, then so be it. But don't let that be the end point. And think about ways, you know, that you want to be able to relax with your partner. And that doesn't always have to be physical intimacy. And it will come in time with your confidence in your body and falling in love with your body again, because often we don't have that body love, and And that would be my kind of advice, is just to try and fall in love with your body and love it for where it is now and not kind of mourn where it was, because we're about going forward from where we were. We are never going to be 17 again. And our body is never going to be like that again. Once you've had a baby, it has changed. So take your time to get to know yourself and fall in love with yourself, and allow your partner to love the new you too, because it's a permission piece on both of your parts.
Just from a practical perspective, again, lots of women don't realize when they're breastfeeding, they have a low levels of estrogen. And one of the functions of estrogen is to keep the vaginal wall lining sort of thickened and moistened. So there can be some sensitivity, some dryness. So if you use some lubricant, if you are having some penetrative sex, so if you use some lubricant, if you use an organic chemical, you know, one which is chemical free, don't use one which has got lots of artificial sort of ingredients in, you can get a lubricant which can use to help with breastfeed. If you're breastfeeding, it may feel the tissue changes. So using that alongside can also help. And also it's a bit of a psychological, just to give you that bit of extra support when you are ready.
And I think what would be really useful for listeners to hear is, are there any resources that you'd both like to signpost to people listening to the podcast, of things that, you know, they should be reading or listening to or doing on a really practical level, which you think would help them with their everyday recovery?
The first thing, as I mentioned before, the POGP has on its website lots of information booklets. When I was a trustee on the board just before COVID, we decided to make those booklets free to access online. There's fantastic resources. There's a booklet regarding postnatal advice, information exercise called Fit for the Future. There's one on antenatal exercise during pregnancy, one called Fit for Birth. So there's a whole range. And also on that website, if you are having problems with some pelvic floor muscle dysfunction, which we've discussed, if you go onto their website, you can find a physiotherapist who is a member of the POGP. So that would be a specialist pelvic health physiotherapist. So we are physiotherapists, but we've trained. It's a speciality they've trained in. So you can look on that website and find someone which is local to you for your support. And we are based both in the NHS and privately. But as your birth inquiry demonstrated, there's a huge discrepancy about who accesses the support and what services are available. But it's a good starting point.
And we'll make sure we add that link into
Definitely.
The show notes,
yeah,
so that
yeah.
mums can find it. Alice, how about you?
With exercise, I never like to say, oh, go to this channel and follow this person and do this program, because every woman's body is different. And I've never met two women who had the same pregnancy, same labor and same recovery. So I would never say the same exercises for every single person. What you need is something that is bespoke to you, and the stage and where you are in your recovery, wherever you decide to then return to exercise. So I would always be checking with whoever you decide, whichever form of exercise you decide to go down, is to check that whoever you're working with is a postnatal specific specialist, so that you are not just working with somebody who is not qualified to help you, support you through your recovery. Your GP is a great point of contact for referrals to Women Health Physio, but also for physical therapists in your area who are postnatal trained as well. I would also recommend, if you are looking for kind of gentle recovery, is just some nice meditation. I know that sounds basic, but actually there are so many YouTube channels and videos and kind of playlists that allow you to just relax. And I would recommend that relaxing is as important as exercising. And it's something that mums don't do enough of. We vibrate at a very high frequency. We're a very anxious nation. And often I get clients who come to me to say, oh, I just want to get strong. And most of the time, I'm coaching more and more overactive women. And that means actually a little bit of calm is more important than some of the exercise. So resource is your Google or your Spotify for some relaxation and meditation pieces, just to even 5 minutes, particularly if you're sleep deprived. A tiny yoga nidra is like a sleep yoga. I had never heard of it. I like the idea of lying on a mat and closing my eyes, and it's called yoga. You know, meditation is a really powerful tool, and just relaxing and kind of taking some time for yourself.
And I think it's really important that we make that point. You know, I had a crazy job going back to Parliament after 6 months, you know, late night votes and incredibly long working hours. And I really didn't feel like I had any time for self-care. And I know that other mums will be struggling with that too, feeling they've got to get back to the office. You know, they've got to catch up having been off on maternity leave. So how important is it, Jo, that we have that time for recovery and rest, and that we're not just rushing around doing everything for the baby, but the mum is investing in herself? And I like to always think of the, you know, example, you know, when you're on a flight and it has on the sign, you know, if the oxygen's needed, make sure the mask is put on the mother and then the children. And I kind of think that's quite a good analogy maybe for post-birth as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. And women generally are phenomenally good at putting themselves at the bottom of the priority pile. And again, in the world of pelvic health physio, we see women from late adolescence through to older age. But in the postnatal stages of recovery, again, if somebody comes in for a postnatal mummy MOT or is seen by a pelvic health physiotherapist, we take very much a holistic approach. So we're going to look at all aspects. People always think they're coming to see the physio, it's all about the exercise and what they're doing. But if you've got someone who's tired and sleep deprived and not sleeping and feeling anxious, and you may well have some postnatal depression. Also, lots of women come to see me, they're new mums, but yeah, we'll have had a history of anxiety before. So it's working with that in this new stage of being a mum. So we've got to look at, you know, that, you know, managing your fatigue, managing your sleep deprivation, look at your tissue health with fluids and diet as well to optimize the outcome with physiotherapy. So it's very much giving yourself that time to have that holistic approach to work with that. And the other thing I was going to say is also, again, if you're coming for some physiotherapy, again, you can also be referred on. It takes lots of people, it takes a village to raise a child. And also you want to have support as well for that mum. So that's where when women come in, they may come in at 6 weeks post-delivery and be really keen to get back to running. But actually it depends on the individual. And actually that's what I say, actually you need a graded return to exercise. That's the key, is graded return to exercise, rather go from 0 to 100. So that's where then referring someone like Alice, who's postnatal trained. So you're doing the appropriate exercise at that stage postnatally to then take those. That's a building block, a great bridge to then go back the exercise that you want to get back to.
And Alice, what top tips do you have for mums on sort of self-care, spending time on their own recovery and knowing that that's just as important as looking after their baby?
I think that there is this conception that taking time for yourself is selfish because you're not being a good mum. You're not there for your baby. And, you know, the number of times I would have shampoo in my hair, my son would start crying and I'd fly out of the bath because I was terrified I wasn't doing, you know, I wasn't with him. But actually, self-care is so important, and taking time for yourself isn't selfish. And it's actually a wonderful way to model a great behavior for your kids, because if your children are witnessing you taking time for yourself, they're much more likely to do that as adults. And if what you're modeling to them instead is, you know, burn yourself into the ground for other people, then, you know, that's going to become their behavior when they're older. The other thing I would say is that the word exercise often can feel like sweating in a gym or running around mindlessly in a park, and for a lot of people, myself included, that is not my form of exercise. Exercise for me is about building muscle strength and also being flexible. So I can tie my shoes and I can then, you know, pick up my daughter and put her on the swing and on the trampoline and go and be present and physically active with my kids, and that I can then climb a mountain if I so choose to. That doesn't mean you have to go to a sort of sweaty gym setting if that's not your vibe. And that's why I work with all of my clients privately in their home, because often they don't want to be in a kind of public setting as they're working out how their body works and what they should be doing or shouldn't be doing. Exercise actually just is about working where you want to be for your body. What do you want? Because nothing is off limits forever. And that's also, I think, something that I really try and instill with my clients, is that, yes, your body feels like it's been put through a macerator. And you might think to yourself, my God, am I ever, ever going to feel like I want to do something physical again? And as to Joe's point, it's about phases and stages. This is something you're going to come through. But what is the end for you? What is your intention for your body? And work towards that rather than thinking, I've got to get into a gym. That is not, should not be your end game. Because your self-care is more than just physical. It's not necessarily what you're just doing in an exercise setting. It's how are you picking your baby off the mat? It's effectively a squat. So are you squatting well? Are you doing things during everyday movements that are helping? Because you're effectively in the gym as a mum. You're constantly lifting, pushing, pulling. You are doing amazing kind of gym work. So you don't have to consider that to be non-exercise. And you're important. And the world, you know, will fall to pieces if you are not the best version of yourself. And your best is different every single day. And that is also really important that you recognize that if you are tired, if you've been up all night, if you've spent the night sleeping next to your cot with one hand pushed through the bars, because that's the only way your baby will sleep, you're not going to be, you know, flying high the next day. So take it easy on yourself and love the beautiful body that has gifted you a miracle, and work with her, not against her.
We're coming towards the end of the episode, so I've got sort of two rapid fire questions for both of you. And the first, Joe, is what one piece of quick advice would you say in one sentence to a mum of something they should do today to improve their healing and recovery?
What I would say, one piece of advice is that if you are worried that you have got symptoms regarding pelvic floor muscle dysfunction, that you seek help for a physiotherapist. There's help out there to manage and treat. Don't sit in and suffer and think that is normal. And to remember, it's a stage. You're at a very physical stage with a new baby, a toddler, children. I have two, you know, young adult children, so I know what it's like to be at that stage of notes that, you know, things have changed, but parenting is stages, and you will get through that stage, and then you will feel, you know, when you get through a stage, each stage has got gorgeous bits and challenging bits. So if you're tired and sleep deprived and physically exhausted, you will come through that stage, and then it's another opportunity to exercise, as Alice says, with your exercising in your home setting, gym setting, going back to a class. It's a stage. It will pass, but do seek help. There is help and support out there from pelvic health physiotherapy.
And Alice, what would be your quick one tip?
That self-care is not selfish, and that you are modeling a beautiful habit of a lifetime for your kids when you look after yourself, and that you're amazing, and don't feel that you will feel this way forever. It's a stage, it's a stage, it's a stage, as we say to ourselves when our children are being wretched, that it's also a stage for you as well, and one that you will blossom and become an even better version of yourself from.
That's so true. And just my final question, and I should say, I say this as a sort of recovering former politician, I'm very keen to make sure that the government is investing more in maternity care and improving access to services. So for both of you, what is the one thing, if you could get the Prime Minister to make a change to improve care for women's health and tackling birth trauma? Joe, what would yours be?
I would say my one suggestion, very firm suggestion, is to recognise that pelvic health physiotherapy is not expensive, and it's so valuable to be seen as part of the maternity services, the postnatal services, so all the work that we're doing, you know, within the PPHS to support it and to have the funding and support there, because it's a very key part. And if pelvic health physiotherapists, we also can refer on, so we can signpost a resource, so we very much work as a team within that setting. But absolutely, it's a valuable resource which is not expensive and can provide a lifetime sort of improvements for women's pelvic health to optimize it.
Thank you. Alice?
That every single woman should have access to a women's health physio appointment in addition to that 6-week GP check, because knowledge is power, and we women do not get taught anything about our bodies in school and what we can expect from labor and all the changes that are awaiting us. And so knowledge is power, and that women should have that information through a woman's health physio, a proper exam that gives them information that is not then filled with fear. It's practical, it's positive, and it's about a solution focused, and that you're not left in the dark guessing as to what's happened to you and what you should do next. So have that assessment, have that information, and then a plan to help you move forward. And then you can have your 6-week GP appointment where you want to talk about contraception.
Well, on that note, can I say a huge thank you to my guest today. And there's some really practical advice in there. So do take a look at our show notes. We've got a resources section on our website, which you can refer to signpost to some of the links that they've both mentioned today. And thank you very much for joining us. And if you've enjoyed today's podcast, then please do rate us and recommend us to your friends. And look forward to joining you for next week's episode. Thanks for now.